Hey Nona.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very happy to be speaking with you about Monarch Legacy of Monsters. I can tell you that.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I am thrilled to have you. I am mesmerized with this series.
Oh, wonderful.
I can't watch it fast enough. The episodes aren't even getting to me fast enough. So, I actually went back and rewatched for the third time the first five episodes. There's so much to unpack on every level, from the sonic level, from the performances, and the editing. The editing is so crucial in this series because we have the time jumps. And also, with monsters appearing, and you're working with Matt on the first two episodes, and you are setting the tone and pace and all the groundwork for the series. Nothing, too burdensome on you, I'm sure.
We tried to do our best and, collaborate with the other teams or, at least. Well, it was different, I think, for us just because Matt is, he's an executive producer and he has such a vision, I think, going in. So, we did shoot first, but they were also shooting simultaneously as we were editing. So, I'm not sure how much we informed the other directors or editors necessarily, but, I think definitely with the music and how we brought in music and the flashbacks and whatnot, like I think that style was taken hopefully from what we did. But everyone has their way of working too. So I know everyone likes to be individual in their work, but I hopefully we did do a good job setting it up, and then they could evolve with the rest of the episodes from there. It was hard just because we were all in a remote fashion, so we didn't have lunches to talk over things in person, which I wish we had that a bit more, but everything's become remote these days.
The editing of one and two, definitely that pace has been maintained
Yes. Yeah.
I've now seen through episode five,
Awesome.
and I can't wait for Friday to see episode six. But you definitely have maintained the pace. And something else that I noticed in episode five that is dependent upon what you did with episodes one and two are the old footage of
Right.
young Lee, Keiko, and Billy, because there is
Right.
this killer scene in episode five where that film, that 16 millimeter film, whatever it was shot in back in the day, that's playing on a screen, and then Kurt Russell's character moves right in front of it. So he is standing directly on top of the image of Young Lee, which is played by Wyatt, his son.
Yeah,
So.
no, that's a really cool scene, and I remember watching it when they were first putting it together, and I was like, that's really cool. Like
Yeah.
they used what we had, the style of the, the footage, and I think they also did shoot it. I'm not sure, but I think so. They shot it in 16 millimeter, like we did. They actually did shoot that footage in 16 millimeter, and we got it processed. And I don't know if you know this about 16 millimeter film, but you can't really sync to it. So
Right.
it, so some of it was shot digitally, like say Miranda's speech to his son in the very first episode. That was shot digitally, and also they did a reference of the 16 millimeter, so we can, we can color and make it look like more 16 millimeter when we put it in. But yeah, you can't really shoot a sync sound,
No.
which I know, like we were aware of that, but we still made that choice to show it with sound.
I think it looks spectacular and it adds to the realism and the fact that time has passed. And that's so key here because of the return, and here we are post G-Day. But now, what you also have to do here is you've really got to work, and this you did on WandaVision, you've done it on Ms. Marvel. is working with your visual effects department, because all the monsters, that's
right.
Visual effects. Nobody was out there. You don't have a 90-foot tall monster on set to shoot. So
no, I didn't pre-vis, so that helps a lot. To explain, pre-visualization is what they call it, but we call it pre-vis. It's easier. You know, they do storyboards. Like Matt will work with a storyboard artist, and then they'll give it to the VFX team, and then they will pre-vis the sequence. So like the opening was pre-vis, not the opening with the footage, because we used Skull Island footage for the opening up until when you see Randa. So that all is Skull Island.
Wow.
Footage that I had to repurpose and make it feel like it was new, but it's actually from the movie. And I, you know, flopped and, you know, sped up stuff to make it feel different and new. So I did that, and then we transitioned it to our footage. And then when he goes and runs through the jungle up to the cliff, that's all what we shot. But they did pre-vis all of that, and the, you know, the monsters at the end of the episode, and the one in episode 2 as well. And, you know, they put it together, and then, you know, when I got it, I kind of recut it to make it feel better. And then they went and shot it. And then when they shot it, it was difficult because the location they found was like a lot windier and wetter than they had found it to be when they scouted it. So they really couldn't have John Goodman completely do all the stuff. So we had to get a stunt performer. So that was tricky to make it feel like it was him running through the jungle and all that stuff. That was a bit more of the challenge than anything. And then, you know, also making sure that, you know, when the spidery monster, I forget their names.
Spidery monster. It works for me. Spidery monster.
When that's running down the cliff, like, you know, that was challenging to make it feel like it was running fast enough and like they weren't so close, like, so the perspective, that was a challenge, just because, you know, when normal people run, it's not that fast. It doesn't yep. feel that fast. So you got to cut a bit faster to make it feel more frenetic, and the music helps with that as well.
You know, what did you think when you first were contacted and this got put into your lap? Did you sit down with Matt first? Did you read the script and then go, holy hell?
Well, I was like, Godzilla. Like, I'm not a monster. It's not my genre that I would normally go, you know, run to. But I was getting off Ms. Marvel, and me and Matt have been wanting to work together again. So he asked me to do another pilot that I wasn't available for. And so he was like, hey, are you available for this? And I said, yeah. It's like it would like fit perfectly into kind of the time period that I would be available. And I read the first 2 scripts and I was like, this is good. Like, I don't really like monster stuff. It's not something I gravitate towards, but I loved the family story aspect and, you know, the time periods and the, you know, aspect of the show, like time swaps and whatnot. So that's more where I gravitated toward. And I kind of was intrigued by having a lot of Japanese in the show, actually, because I don't speak it, but, you know, I love shows that feel real in that way, where, mm-hmm. you know, when people are speaking in their native tongue, you should be speaking that language. And I thought that was really cool to not shy away from just being in English the whole time.
Yeah, I found that interesting that, you know, Matt and the entire team, that they chose to do that. But it really does make it more authentic.
Yes, yeah. And it feels real. And we were actually shot in Japan, and they shot in Hawaii for the Philippines. And it just feels real, really authentic and not fake, which is really beautiful, I find. I was challenged. challenging for them, I know, to shoot in those locations. But especially through COVID still. But, you know, I think they made it work beautifully. They did such a great job on set. And Chris Black and Matt Fraction did a beautiful job writing the series. And so, you know, everybody put up their best efforts, I think. So it's funny because, you know, you never think, oh, it's going to be like, people are going to really like it. And then, you know, the reviews and, you know, the response has been wonderful, actually, to see, because we really did put in a lot of effort to make the show as good as possible.
The production values are superb. The consistency and the synergistic nature of all of the episodes I've seen so far, and going back and forth with time jumps, really cohesive and so well done. And that cohesiveness with the time jumps, that's due to the editing team. That's totally on you guys. If you don't have that cut in a believable fashion, we're not going to buy it.
Right. So, I think, you know, the directing helps in that too. I think, you know, if we didn't have like the pushes and the close-ups, and you know, we accentuate that with, you know, our tools that we have in our editing systems. But, you know, accentuating that using music, using, you know, being lyrical about it. Like we did a bit of that in 1 and 2 with the flashbacks to G-Day with Kate's character, mm-hmm. you know, changing it up. Because it was basically the same footage, but we, you know, we kept changing little bits and pieces to what you saw to kind of show snippets and not show everything. I know people were like a little disappointed with like, well, let's see more Godzilla, and I get that, but it's also more about the psychology of the character, more so than, you know, showing everything, but that was a choice, I think, a good choice that we made.
But, you know, as we go through, you know, now in episode 5, we're already on monster 3 or 4, each one is totally different, and as we see in Alaska, I think in the 3rd episode, and as the older Lee, you know, Kurt Russell's character, he figures out what's attracting them, what they actually think. They're very sentient beings. And so we're really getting a really cool understanding of the thought process of the monsters as we go through this. So it's not just monsters. We've got the family aspect, family that's your birth family, the family that you choose to be your family, brothers in arms in a disaster. And then the monsters who are, they're not just stuck there for no reason. There is a thought process there. And I love how all of that comes out.
Yeah, I think so, you know, that's a lot to do with the writing, you know. And I think our writers did a beautiful job kind of navigating all of the storylines, you know, into a nice, like, easily, I mean, like, I know it's not always easy to follow through, but, you know, it makes the audience think, which I think is good. I feel like a lot of shows just spoon feed a lot of stuff to people, and then you're not as, you know, intrigued by it, but, you know, I think a little mystery and a little, like, vagueness is good. Personally, I love that, for a series, so, and, you know, I feel like you, an audience member, like, loves that aspect of, you know, threading all these different storylines together into a nice, beautiful series.
Absolutely. Now, how early do you get the footage to start working on the edit? Especially with this?
I shoot it the next day.
Wow.
So we're on it. So we usually editors start like the day of production starting. Sometimes they give us like, you know, a week of prep if there is a lot of previs. I don't know. I don't think we got that on this. I think I started literally the day they started shooting, and then the next day I started getting footage. Pretty immediately. Yeah. And we have to, just because if we're, you know, something's amiss or they had a bad day of shooting, that I can go in and cut something and see if we're missing something, and then if we need to pick it up later, we can. That's the protection production. It's because it's so expensive every day of production. So, you know, to guarantee that you're not, I mean, it's not a science, like a, but, you know, if you're confident with your, you know, editors, they can, like, call out, like, being like, hey, we might need this, or we might need that. That maybe that performance isn't quite working, or whatnot. Luckily, you know, we were the first two, so, you know, if we did need to do reshoots or something to pick up, you know, there was a lot more episodes to shoot, to go back and get, like, something if we needed it.
So how long...
It's hard with the finale. That's the hardest. Like, the finale is, like, where you're, like, you have to be on top of, this isn't working, we need to go back, like, immediately and get this.
Well, gee, you're not cutting the finale, so...
No, I didn't cut the finale. Luckily, I didn't cut the finale. You know, just doing the first two is really, you know, took a long time, so... Yeah, when they hired me, I was kind of just in that one block with Matt, because I'm Matt's editor, not necessarily, I worked mostly with Matt, not as much with Chris and Matt Fraction. Mm-hmm. Matt just stayed on the entire time until we finished those first two episodes, basically.
Now, how long was your editing process for episodes 1 and 2?
I mean, I think we started July of 22, and then I was done, like, just editing wise April of 23. It was a long process.
That's
just because we didn't shoot the Hawaii footage, like, until after all of the episodes were shot, so I was waiting around working on the cut while we got that, because that was the last place they shot was Hawaii, and so we wait, like, so the beginning of that beginning of episode 1, I did really and that was a massive sequence. We did that really quickly, so that was all shot in December of 22.
Mm-hmm. What was the most challenging aspect of the edit on Monarch Legacy of Monsters?
That open was the hardest thing, probably, just because it was hard to get it, make it feel exciting enough, I would say. And you know, when you're working with post-viz, pre-viz, it doesn't always look as, you know, exciting or threatening, you know, I would say. So making that, I think finishing that process of making it feel real, and, you know, and I stayed, and I wasn't on necessarily, but I did oversee the effects up until we finished, which was like September. I wasn't on the show, but I was, you know, still involved. And, you know, me and Matt were overseeing the VFX to make sure they were looking as good as they possibly look.
Mm-hmm.
And my assistant stayed on. So if we had any challenges with, like having to change, like, timing, because that's another thing. Once we lock the show and once VFX starts going on, is that when we get the footage from the vendors, you know, it's not necessarily always perfectly matching our pre-viz or post-viz.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to change timing a little bit to help, to make it feel, you know, good. It's not so much a science, because they'll change timing based off what they think too, the vendors and the artists. So it's a crazy collaboration, because the VFX supervisor, you know, works with the vendors, and we're on our own kind of, and then they kind of tell us, like, hey, they changed this timing or that timing, and so we have to change it in the edit too to make it feel better. It doesn't always, like, drop in perfectly, those shots.
Well, with all of that fun going on and this back and forth, what is it about editing that made you become an editor?
You know, I love puzzles. I mean, so people always say the same thing. But I love puzzles, and I like troubleshooting. I mean, it's funny, like, when I was an assistant editor, I was really good at troubleshooting. And I feel like the same thing as with editing and doing notes. It's like, we're there to troubleshoot. We're there to, you know, if things go awry, we're there to figure out how to fix it. And so, I'm not saying everything is needing to be fixed, but a lot of things always have, like, issues, and so I feel like I'm good at, like, troubleshooting, and so, and I bring that to the work, so, and I troubleshoot before, you know, we get to even the director's cut, so, like, if things aren't necessarily working know, mm-hmm. sometimes you kind of have to, like, drop something because it's not necessarily working all that well. Some people may not like that, but I, you know, I want to make it the best possible thing before anybody sees it, because, you know, we're, you know, as editors, I feel like they hire us for our taste, right? That's basically what you're hired for. Not necessarily, you know, knowing what, how story is structured and how things are put together. So, I'm giving the, you know, the directors or the producers that my take, basically, before they see it. So I'll use the script for sure, but, you know, also give a little bit of myself into it too, especially if you're doing the pilot. You can't necessarily do that if you're on a season 3 or 4
right.
to show necessarily, but when you're doing the first, you know, first season, you can kind of, you know, experiment a bit more, which is fun, which I love. This is why I always do first seasons, is because I like to do that.
I like that. I like that reasoning, Nona. That's good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I find that I'm not always good at, like, conforming to other people's stuff. So if I don't have to do that, it's better for me. To kind of do my own thing. I mean, I'm good at that too, but I'd rather just do, you know, I think everyone's dream is to, you know, create and do something that's unique to you, right? So I think, you know, everyone wants to do that. So I'm privileged to be able to do that too.
A woman after my own heart. Just let me do it. Get out of the way. Let me do it. And I guarantee you it'll be good. So how much footage did you have to cull through on these two episodes of Monarch?
It was a good amount. I mean, it's not the most dailies I've ever gone, but it wasn't like the least amount either. I mean, there was a lot to go through, and there's a lot on the cutting room floor, like, you know, cool shots that I didn't use just because doesn't necessarily, like, we have so many, like, cool drone shots in the Hawaii footage, and at the end with the millipede scene, you know, when Keiko dies, so, spoiler, sorry, but that was a lot of footage, and then, you know, the beginning of episode 2, that whole fight scene with Wyatt's character, Lee, like, that was a whole scene that we intercut it. It wasn't supposed to be that way. You know, he says it in an interview, actually, where, you know, White does. Like, they had an idea of him smoking, and Apple was like, oh, no, you can't have anybody smoking on the show. So we had to figure out a way to cut it out in a good and natural way. So my director had a great idea of using when he goes to talk to the supervising officer, that as he's telling the story, that we intercut it with that footage of the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to find a way to do that. That was not an easy thing, but we made, you know, just that we were to cut it, the intercut it, because it wasn't scripted that way. So that was a challenge. And there was a lot of footage there that we didn't show. So that was unfortunate. That's okay.
Do you like it?
Driving stuff too that was cut out, and, you know, like, there's a lot of stuff that you know, for time purposes, you don't want to do too much shoe leather either.
Yeah.
You want to get in the middle of the scene out as soon as possible, because then it gets boring and nobody wants to see that.
No. We want to see more monsters.
Yeah, exactly.
Or we just want to, you know, get to episode 3 and see Kurt Russell. You know.
Exactly. I had more of him. I was a little bummed we didn't get as much. That is the nature of it all. But.
Do you prefer to get a lot of coverage footage that you can work with so you can intercut if you need to?
I mean, I think having a vision is a good thing from a director. I mean, I think getting coverage, not too much coverage, I would say, like, there can be a point where you get too much and you're like, I don't know what the director is saying to me.
Mm-hmm.
And And then I don't know how to really put it together, because it's just like everything, and you're like, okay, I don't. This is we call it spray and pray. And then you know the editors have to then put it together and kind of create the vision, which I don't think that's great. It's great to get a lot of coverage. Not saying that, but you know, have a point of view. Know who your lead of that scene is. I think that's important. Sometimes I don't, you know, sometimes you do get footage and it's not, you're like, I don't really understand what this scene is supposed to tell me. So that's the challenge of, I think, when you get too much coverage. But getting not enough coverage is also difficult, because you're like, okay, where do I cut to and how do I make this work with the little coverage I have? So I think the balance is, you know, that, and that's hard, you know. Time is also an issue on set, and sometimes you can't get all the footage you need, and so we have to figure out ways to cut around things that we don't necessarily get if they don't have time, or if there's like a weather issue or whatnot, and which has happened to me in the past. And you know, you kind of have to figure out how to make it work with what you have. Or it's better than less, I would say, but not so much, because then you know then what happens is we can't watch all the footage with the time on a television show. And then, you know, we might miss things. Even though I watch everything, sometimes, you know, I have to watch, if there's just too much footage in a day, I have to speed through some of it, just because you have to. I won't make my date, you know, I won't make my deadlines. So you kind of have to get it cut. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll scare you. I interviewed a filmmaker once. It was for his second film. He shot 400 hours of footage.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember my first episode I ever edited on a show called Revolution. I remember we were getting like 8 hours of footage a day on a network schedule, and it was so crazy. It was like three cameras running the whole time. And that director was like a very good director, but I was like, oh, my God, this is so much footage.
Yeah.
But they had to. You're shooting 42 minutes of cut footage, and I think those scripts are a little longer. You know, you kind of have to shoot a lot, because then they don't. The directors, they have 8 days of shooting. How are they going to shoot all that?
Yeah.
So I understand why they shot so. You kind of have to for those kinds of shows. You know.
I know.
We don't have to do that as much anymore, because you know we have a little bit better. Schedules, at least production does, I hope.
Curious, what editing system were you using, Nona, for Monarch?
Well, I use Avid, mostly. Avid Media Composer, and every show I've been on, I've used it. I haven't been lucky enough to use Premiere, I trained on the Avid in college, and I've been using this since I was an assistant.
Avid's great. Avid is really great. And I know people that have used Premiere and they go back to Avid.
I think just because it's stable, you know, and you can share media with, you know, your assistants and the other editors. So I think the infrastructure behind it with the, you know, like a lot of post facilities mainly use Avid.
Mm-hmm.
There are directors who don't, like David Fincher, I've heard, and I heard The Bear, they use Premiere. But, you know, it just depends on the people you work, you know, the director, the producers, you know, it depends on them too. Sometimes they want to use certain systems.
Sure. So now that you've finished your first two episodes of Monarch Legacy of Monsters, it's aired. We're coming up to episode 6 that I think Joe Hall edited this Friday. What's next for you?
Well, I'm on a show right now, a Max original show. I did an episode of a Peacock show that's coming out hopefully next year. Because it's been the strikes, it's been kind of crazy. I'm just working away. I don't want to say anything yet, just because it's new.
Don't. Yes, don't. Keep it a secret.
Something next year will come out, hopefully, that I've worked on, and hopefully And then hopefully get to work with Matt again. Hopefully that will happen at some point. So I don't know when or what, but, you know, I'd like to work with Matt Shackman again. That would be great.
Well, I have been an admirer of your work for a while, and I can't wait, and I love what you've done with these episodes of Monarch. I can't wait to see what you do next. Cannot wait.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Debbie. That's so nice to hear.
So, and hopefully with one of the other upcoming projects, we'll get to chat again.
Yes, I hope so. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and you have a wonderful holiday, Nona.
Me too. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Bye.